Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Should we try next?
Maybe the...
There's the knot from P3, and then there's the Irish Hello. That's funny, Irish Hello. I mean, it's got a little leprechaun on it.
Oh, yeah. Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And top of the morning to you.
Yeah, man, Irish Hello.
Right, Nick's cracking this can of Pollyanna Irish Hello. Irish red ale. It's Irish red season.
I noticed.
Yeah, the house is all green up in here. And yeah, I've picked up a few Irish reds. I feel like we have kind of started doing this every other week, so we are going to, we got to double up, triple up.
I think you're doing a good job with the double and tripling. Yeah. Yeah. So you got the Irish reds times
so,
three.
So we started with this Three Floyds. Return of the Ancients, mm-hmm. Right? Brian Boru has died, even though I don't think he can die. He's the king, right?
I don't understand where Brian Boru is. But this is basically taking the place of Brian Boru. It's the Return of the Ancients. It's got some really strange dude sitting on the throne.
Yeah.
And he's not like a human dude. He's like some sort of alien dude. Like, I wish, I mean, maybe it's strange to me because I don't get the reference.
I don't know. I kind of love that it's in a bottle.
Oh, like, yeah.
I'm here for bottles this year.
Okay.
Like, cans are boring.
There was a conversation about, you know, like, all the reasons why cans are better, you know, from price to being lighter and everything. But
yeah.
There's something, you know, sexier about the bottle,
yeah,
compared to the tall boy can.
And then if you get in a fight, you can just like smash it and you look like real tough.
That escalated quickly. Yeah, you can, but you cannot do that with a tall boy can.
Right,
you cannot. That's true.
The only thing you can do is like crush it on your own head and be like, yeah, don't mess with me.
Or do
shotgun.
Or shotgun.
Yeah, yeah. Can't shotgun a bottle. But Return of the Ancients, it's good. But it's no Brian Boru, right? That's kind of where I...
I feel like I would rather have Brian Boru.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it. But yeah.
It's kind of on the sweeter side. Brian Boru, I feel like, had a little more hop bite to it.
Yeah, more. And then I'm thinking, and then on the bottle, they're saying they're trying to focus on these fruits. I'm sorry, these hops that kind of feel more like fruits. Yeah. So they call out citrus and tropical notes from the hops they're using.
This is overly gassed.
It's it tastes like a Marzen to me a little bit. This
you're right,
Hello.
Yeah.
It's kind of nutty, right? Or roasty or something.
Yeah, this is Oktoberfest that they are trying to resell us in St. Patrick's Day time.
Yeah, that's an interesting decision of a flavor profile. Yeah.
That's. I don't like that.
Coming off, and but you know what? This is reinforcing how good Brian Boru is,
or even the Return of the Ancients, or the knockoff, the dupe,
dupe Brian Boru, the clone Brian Boru.
Oh, I feel like in Oktoberfest, I'm down for this.
Yeah,
it's a good Oktoberfest.
It's kind of jarring when you have it next to this other one. Does the Irish red from P3, does it taste like that?
I don't know. I went for this. Hold on. I got to get through this because I'm not. This is weird. I think.
It ain't as fun as fake Brian Boru.
No. And we've kind of talked about what's the Revolution Fistmas. is an Irish red ale, okay, or a red ale with ginger for Christmas. So it kind of could be an Irish red if you're drinking it in March. But this, like, I never thought of an Oktoberfest tasting like a Irish red ale.
Yeah, this is a Pollyanna.
Do you think they know that they messed? They know they messed this up, or they don't care.
They gotta know. They gotta know.
I think they just brewed too much Oktoberfest and repackaged it.
And they got like two locations now too, right? And I think they're on the project with Go. They were saying, I either see the Pollyanna or.
I feel like you could peel off the sticker and like it's gonna be like hello Bavaria or something.
Yeah, is it a repurposed Oktoberfest?
Okay, and then the knot. That's the phase three. I think we were talking about them on the last episode with just being around the corner from Moore.
So, oh, yeah, because their latest location in Elmhurst is like 2 miles from Moore, and they all came from Moore. Well, the three main principal players, the brewer, the taproom manager, and the brewer's wife, who I believe was doing the artwork for those guys. Similar nose.
Better, but has a little bit of Oktoberfestiness still.
Has this always been there, and we're just not noticing it?
Have we been duped this whole time?
This one seems a little more rounded. The other one had like a very expressive like roast to it. The other one, the Irish, the Pollyanna one. This one does not. It all just kind of works together a little bit better, I feel like.
You know what? I think... We need like a control now, right? We need Dicey Riley.
I mean, what's an Irish red supposed to taste like? Now I'm confused. Okay. I don't even know who I am anymore.
I am very confused, and I am totally messed up. I am going to get a can of Dicey Riley. Okay. We're going to pause the episode. We're going to add a fourth one in this lineup. Hold on. All right. Back. We got Dicey Riley. What did you look up while...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Nick was checking out the...
Oh, yeah, the flavor profile for an Irish red ale. Moderate to low malt aroma with a caramely toasty toffee flavor.
Okay, and then what's their Oktoberfest, or what's Marzen?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and then I went and got Dicey Riley. This Return of the Ancient tastes more like what I would expect an Irish red to taste like. So I rinsed out my glass with a little bit of that.
For a Marzen, intensity of aroma in German malt, typically rich, bready, somewhat toasty, with a light bread crust on the nose. Mm. Caramel, dry biscuity. So the aroma on the Irish Red is supposed to be caramely and toasty.
Yeah. Okay. Dicey Riley is what I expect from an Irish Red. I understand that they can be similar, but the Irish Hello from Pollyanna is a Marzen. And then the Knot is like in between that. And so the Ancient is a, you know, this is a, what, 6.5, so it's a little on the upper end of Oktoberfest, so. Mm-hmm. But then Dicey Riley, that's what you expect, right?
Yeah, it's lighter in every way.
Yeah. They're like spring beers. They shouldn't be like filling. They should be easy to drink. Less hearty, right?
Yeah. Slightly sweet. Biscuity.
What is Pollyanna doing? That was
smaller too, though. It's like 5%. Dicey Riley's 5%.
Right. That's why the 6.5 from the Return of the Ancient is like, I think Brian Boru was higher too, but that's because they're like heavily hopping and like trying to make double.
And that's kind of their thing, right?
Right. Okay. I get they're similar, but they shouldn't taste like an Oktoberfest.
I don't think so either.
Okay. Where are we going? That was going crazy. The knot's fine.
Right.
Irish Hello, not good. for an Irish red.
The knot is a step above the Pollyann offering.
Okay. This wasn't meant to be a, I don't know, a ranking here, but I feel like Pollyanna often lets me down. They win these awards, and they're a brewery that I don't ever want to go to.
Well, they're the band that, you know, they kill it with that one beer.
The light?
No, I'm talking about the one they win at FOBAP with all the time.
Oh, okay.
This is a short list of over a 5-year period. I think just Rev, Off Color, and these guys. The more Rev's beers or Off Color's beers win multiple, different beers win. Mm-hmm. This the one Pollyanna beer that wins all the time. Yeah. I think it's Orenda. I think it's
okay. Called, so. And they win JBF stuff. Like they win things all the time. But there's something. I think it's their name. It like doesn't make me like excited. To like I'm going to Pollyanna. There's something about them. But
the Roselle, Illinois.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not. I've been there once. But Irish hello.
Lamont, Illinois.
I say goodbye.
More like Irish goodbye.
Yeah. <Ba-do-do-do. laughs> All right. Now, let's get going. I did nothing except buy these Irish or these fake Irish red beers. What about you?
I went to the old Monk's Pub downtown. Mm-hmm. One of the better beer bars downtown. I was thinking, like, hey, if I'm over here, like, basically in the loop, like, what other beer bars are there down here that I would go to?
That's not the one that has the barrel when you enter. That's the one in Lakeview, right?
You're talking about the one on like North Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's that? That's like Friar Tuck's.
Friar Tuck's.
No.
Okay. Because that one's like a barrel when you enter, right? Or is Monk's a barrel?
No, Monk's kind of feels like a, like if Hogwarts had a beer bar. Right. It kind of feels like that. Okay. You know? It feels like you're underground is what is, I think, a good way to describe it.
It did feel dark and dirty with the peanuts.
Yeah, so no peanuts.
Oh, okay.
Peanuts are gone. I was surprised. I'm like, this place used to do the Texas Roadhouse thing with fucking peanut shells everywhere.
Right, because there's only, you can't, like, I have 2 bags I was given for Christmas of those peanuts. You got to eat them outside. So I have to wait till it's warm to eat them outside. But I don't want to make a mess in my yard.
Yeah, what do you do with these peanuts?
Right.
You're always better off just taking the time to deshell them ahead of time. Right. And serve them.
That's why they're great eating at the ballpark because it's like, I get to make a mess.
Yeah. You get to act like you're at the old Monk's Pub.
Yeah. But I think you can bring your own peanuts into the stadium. I think you can bring your own food into the parks.
Again?
Because they sell peanuts outside. And I think you can take
it. You don't have to stop eating that stuff to bring it in. I guess you're right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like kids who come in groups for like, you know, summer camp and stuff, they usually pack a lunch.
Yeah. So I think you're allowed to bring food in. Just most people don't because that's half the fun.
Right? I mean, they got a parking lot, so you might as well just tailgate.
Yeah.
That's where I always
do. So eat my peanuts inside and outside. But anyway, so I can't eat them at Monk's. But what were you doing at Monk's besides not eating peanuts?
It was a collab. It was a collab with, let's see, Hopewell Brewing and Fair State Brewing.
Okay.
Now, Fair State's up in Minneapolis, I think.
Okay, yeah.
And I think they share a distributor. So that's how the collab came about. They did something called Dripping Sun. It's like a 9% double IPA. But then they had a bunch of Fair State stuff on. Because I don't think Fair State is local. But this collab with Hopewell, they brought some stuff locally.
Mm.
Yeah. So this was a good hang. And then an excuse to go to Monk's. And an excuse to try Fair State stuff. I'm aware of them, but I have never had any of their stuff.
I may have been there or had some of their stuff.
Fair State?
A number of times I've gone up to Duluth and had stuff from Minneapolis. So
yeah, Phil Cool, this guy who used to be the, I think he might have been the beer buyer at Fountainhead. He's selling those beers now.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that was the local connection. You know what they said that was interesting was like, there's a certain date that where beers go out of code, and instead of them going out of code, they're like 6 blocks from a non-alcoholic producer, and the non-alcoholic producer buys their out-of-code beer from them and de-alkalizes it and then sells it as like one of their beers. What? And pays them. So instead of destroying their beers, they get, you know, money per keg for the beers that go out of code, if a beer ever goes out of code. I'm like, that's interesting. I've never heard of that.
I didn't know you could do that.
I didn't know you could do that either. Yeah, so non-alcoholic beer. And then it was like, they've sent them samples of it, and they're like, holy shit.
Does it taste like their beer?
This tastes like our beer with no alcohol in it. Because, you know, there's two methods of making non-alcoholic beer. One is you start your process with, like, there's a process where you make no alcoholic beer.
Right.
And then there's another process where you make basically regular beer and take the alcohol out.
Yeah.
It's more complicated than that, but that's the only part I remember. There's these two methods of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I had never heard that before. So,
recycle old beer.
Basically. Yeah. So, which is kind of interesting because I guess if they define it as good, I guess they're saying, hey, this tastes just like a version of the beer we gave them.
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't taste like a fake beer, you know?
Why wouldn't... If this is a process that works, why wouldn't a lot of the breweries just do this when they have to either... Like, they have, like, a big tap. Like, someone like Salamoth with the city location has that big...
Still Life
has the big wall of beer. Some of that has to go bad, right?
I don't know. I think, what is it? I could be off, but I think it's 120 days. Or something is the code where the distributor, I think, is supposed to go out and destroy your beer.
So if this process is actually very good, maybe it's not cheap, maybe it's not easy.
Maybe it's these guys happen to be in proximity of a brewery, so I'm guessing that's got something to do with it too,
mm-hmm.
right? Like that's probably why you never hear about this.
Yeah.
That was an interesting wrinkle.
But I'm also a fan of selling the out of code beer, super cheap.
Yeah.
Like that's how I got into. Summertime from Goose Island. Yes. It was basically previous or 2-year-old Summertime. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, 12-pack for $5? Sure.
Yeah. Well, I was just saying, I was drinking Alpha Claws, and Alpha Claws is out of season. But, you know, I had, I was getting a bottle of whiskey, and I'm like, well, what do I want with this? I don't want an IPA. I'm like, I think this Alpha Claws will go great with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I didn't care that it was... I don't care that it's about to be March. I still got the Alpha Claws, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So. So there was...
That's cool.
What? Tripping Sun. Something called Lobster Stuffed Tacos, which I think is like a Simpsons reference.
Okay.
Which is like their pastry stout, basically. Just a really well-balanced pastry stout. And then a bunch of pale ales from Fair State.
Nice.
So... Yeah, that was the only thing I did. The Hopewell guys were there. The Hopewell guys live near the Pho number one brewing place. I'm like, where do you live? Because I'm like, I go there sometimes because, you know, I just shoot right down Milwaukee.
The Pho place?
No, or? I go to Hopewell.
Okay.
You know, because on Mondays, Rev's not open. Mondays and maybe even Tuesdays. And Hopewell's not that far from me, just right down Milwaukee. I'm like, yeah, pop in there a lot, get a 4-pack and go home for dinner. And I'm like, where do you live? He's like, I live in Dunning. I'm like, have you been to Pho number one? And he's like, it's a brewery? I'm like, the Pho place. Yeah, he's like, no. He's like, man, maybe we should be the first ones to do a beer with them.
That would be amazing.
Because they got like a little 4-barrel system, so, yeah.
If Hopewell did like a Thai, or not Thai, but like a...
Pho?
It's Vietnamese, but like a some sort of ingredient with like... inspired by it or something, or like
I think it'd be cool.
They could do the rice lager, right?
Yeah,
because there's rice noodles. Aren't those is the rice noodles in Pho? I don't know, I forget.
Yeah, I just know that thinner usually than like the ramen noodle.
Yeah,
but
the glass noodles, yeah.
But that was cool.
Oh, nice. Okay, so. Damn. Well, then there's a lot of I don't know news. Rumors, things happening around the city. One, before I forget, because it just came to me, there's a post that Liquid Love is getting kicked out of their spot.
Oh, yeah. The artist formerly known as Prairie Crafts.
Right.
They changed their name to Liquid Love. And they kind of got their shit together under the Liquid Love name, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just kind of like pastry stouts. Fruit of Sours.
People were liking their stuff, although they were on like a list of like, I think they had pro Trump sign up in their brewery, so yeah. But
Trumpito can't help them out, huh?
I guess not.
Man, shit is real out there.
So they're looking for a new spot. They're getting kicked out, so they could be done.
Yeah, it sounds like they must have pissed somebody off because it's all the plea in these groups, these Facebook groups from Liquid Love is like, yeah, we got to leave in like 2 months. And it's like, well, it sounds like the relationship was a little fucked up if this is this abrupt end to your agreement, because they've been there forever.
Right, as Prairie Craft, which right. was terrible.
Not my favorite. And then they spell craft with a K, like, you know, like the cheese people do.
Right.
I'm just like, processed cheese. I'm like, this place, what the fuck?
I should have just had Prairie Craft Beards with a Z. Mm. And
just go all in at that point.
So they're, I don't know, moving or shutting down. They should probably just take it as the opportunity to, like, quit. Mm. I can't imagine it's cheap and easy to restart a brewery like that in a new space.
Yeah, although there are spaces. People kept recommending spaces to them, like
Smiley,
the old Light the Lamp up in Grays Lake. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people started naming places where you could go. Come out here kind of thing.
Right.
We got space. Our brewery closed. Right.
So your brewery closed because you weren't going enough, apparently.
Yeah.
So there's that. And I did see, I think Foreign Exchange is open in Aurora.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think they were hiring servers or hiring people, so I think that's finally open.
Ricky Cervantes.
Kitty Wampus?
Yeah, we had him on the show during the pandemic.
Yeah.
During our... Kitty Wampus was good.
Kitty Wampus was very good, yeah.
Imperial Porter, I think. Mm-hmm. Imperial Coffee Porter, something like that.
But I think they lost all their, like, I don't know, cool kid hype.
Momentum, yeah. I mean, but they've done beers with, Whiskey Hill.
Okay.
They've done beers with Whiskey Hill, but yeah, stuff that just made it out our way. You know, I don't think
I think it's lost in the, yeah. like, what?
There was no follow-up hit to Kitty Wampus.
Right, like, yeah. Kitty Wampus, and then when we had him on during the pandemic, 2019, 2020.
Right.
It's 2025. No one knows who you are.
Right.
You're a new brewery.
Again.
Yeah. And can you make it work? Maybe.
I mean, you know, people of Aurora are probably excited.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see.
Those were the two things that popped in my head that we were talking pre-show about a few things. Then there's On Tour and Lynx. Mm.
This is so peculiar, man. On Tour is a Grateful Dead inspired band.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. On Tour is a Grateful Dead inspired band. And
or
then,
brewery.
Oh, brewery. And then Fish was the Wicker Park bar, and they are huge Lynx. They were Fish fans.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. That's
so
hilarious then that this is happening. So Lynx or On Tour is closing, but Lynx from Wicker Park is taking over and becoming a brewery.
It sounds like sounds like On Tour is selling a brewery to Lynx.
Right.
And this isn't the first time Lynx has looked for a place.
Oh. Yeah.
So Lynx will have, I guess, Lynx's thing was having like 40 beers on tap and a super cool board, you know, where you could see the keg of beer kind of shrinking, and the digital board where you could check in and see your face from untapped.
Right. There's a few we're talking, there's a Portland place that does it. I can't remember.
Bailey's.
What it was. Bailey's, yeah.
Yeah.
Bailey's was neat. I've been there once. Mm-hmm. It's small. We interviewed the guys at Lynx. Lynx had like sausages. People love more like Lynx was neat to me.
It was very cool.
But people like loved Lynx.
Yeah, it was right next to the original Furious Spoon right there on Milwaukee near North Ave.
Across from the old Double Door.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought it was a pretty chill spot. No servers. So, you know, you go to the bar at your convenience. They got food, but you go order food at your convenience.
Okay.
You know, there's not a lot of, someone in your face asking you, is everything okay?
I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. So it sounds like they're going to just bring it back the way it was and just have, you know, if they got 40 draft lines, you know, 6 of them will be their beers.
Okay.
And another 35 or whatever will be guest drafts. And it'll just be Lynx marches on. Lynx is back after like a fucking, I don't know, 5-year break. Lynx is back online.
Where were they looking at other places?
Well, he took over the program at Schoolyard Tap, which is a place I haven't been to. I think it's on Southport.
Okay.
I just heard of it. But there's an article that talked about he looked to kickstart this on other places and it didn't work out.
Okay.
But, you know, On Tour, for all its, you know, On Tour made a big splash when they opened. You know, they were a small brewery of the year, basically, at JBF. But I was thinking in my head, like, if I'm in that area, you know, you're probably going to Midwest Coast or Great Central or Goose.
You're not going to Great Central?
Or District Brew Yards.
Don't you know yourself. You're not going to Great Central.
We almost went to Great Central after Rare Day because it's right there, you know.
But, yeah, you go to District Brew Yards makes the most sense because they have food.
But so and the point is you're probably going On Tour. On Tour is maybe fourth or fifth in your things that you might do over there.
But if Link Springs,
you might even go to Forbidden Root before you go to On Tour.
Right. But if Link Springs food, that's a game changer for that area because none of the other spots have food.
None of the spots we named.
Goose except doesn't for have food. DYB. Great Central. Yeah. And District Brew Yards downtown, they just got Lily Q, which is good. But the one in Wheeling has like three options. And it's like, if you don't feel like barbecue, you're like kind of screwed.
Yeah. So we'll see. It's right there, right off Hubbard. So right in, is that, I don't know if that's quite West Town yet. Yeah, that might just still be Chicago Brewing District, yeah, basically.
So this is a weird closing / opening.
Yeah. Well, you don't get too many of those.
Right. Because then also right over there, Cobra Lounge, their brewery has shut down. Or has ceased operation.
Oh, it did? What was the name of the brewery? We all know Cobra Lounge.
All Rise. Yeah,
yeah.
Who bought their stuff from Moonshine.
I remember
in
Moonshine.
Wicker Park.
Yeah. Moonshine was a fucking train wreck of a space. It was fun, though.
You could get, I think it was $4 or $5 glass, or it might have been $3 of their beer. It wasn't great.
But you can go there and get wrecked.
And it was like $10. It was in like the cups that look like glasses.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was in moonshine jugs and it was like their beer. And it was like, this isn't good, but it's like real cheap, so let's go.
I didn't realize that was Moonshine's equipment that was in All Rise. Mm-hmm. Mike Jacobs, he came from All Rise. The Clybourne Brewmaster? No. There's no more Clyde.
Salt Shed.
The Salt Shed Brewmaster. So
from Finch.
Yeah, by way of Finch. That's right. Mm. So, a little beer history there.
Yeah, so I don't know what All Rise / Cobra Lounge is doing with equipment. I think they've been just going through their beer. They're currently not brewing any beer. It was fine beer. They're a weird spot, right? They're a music venue / bar / restaurant / brewery that like...
It's almost inappropriately dark, unusually dark in there.
Yeah, but they did have outdoor space.
Yeah.
They had a great buffalo chicken wrap.
You know, the Goose guys would always go eat at Cobra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a little bum that that's not happening, but I also haven't been in so long. So.
Yeah. It's one of the few things over there. Chicago's got these pockets where, you know, people, it's a populated city and there's a lot of stuff in this area, but there's surprisingly like very few places to just go have good beer and good food.
Right.
You know, and the Cobra was one of them. You know?
Yeah. You got a Kaiser Tiger not too far from there.
No.
No? You don't?
No, it's not too far. It's not too far.
Although, I'm not a fan of...
The beer and sausage thing? Because that's Link's thing, I think, too. Beer and sausage.
No, I think they're like... Oh, I don't like them because we've had events there and they won't let you do individual taps. They make you be like, we only do 2 credit cards per table. So you could have a group of friends there and they're not going to run it. I get it, it's expensive, but you're making me not want to come here with a big group and you have a big space.
Yeah, you ask those guys, when is this place ever full? They're like, it's not, because it's so big.
Right.
When you consider the back and upstairs and downstairs, and it's too big to fill.
They have lots of space, lots of beer, but man, we're all over the place. Yeah. On Tour, okay.
Yeah, On Tour's out, and Lynx is back.
How do you feel about that?
You know, I'm so far removed from like 2015 when we interviewed them. It seems like a lifetime ago.
Yeah.
But you know, I can remember having some really fun nights at Lynx. Oh yeah. You know, so I would give Lynx a whirl, and I've never considered going on tour. I just named a bunch of places I would go before considering going on tour.
Yeah, I liked on tour beer.
Yeah.
I think when I lived in Wicker Park, on tour was more of a on my radar, mm-hmm. and now it's like, oh, I forgot their beer's good, but
yeah.
At this point, everyone makes pretty good beer, so what do you? You're not better than everyone else.
Yeah, and I guess they did do. They had block parties, and you know, I think they had live music. Mm-hmm. Live music was their thing. So, but it wasn't. You know, I'm not super into the Dead like that. So,
right.
So I never went for those things. But
okay, nice. What else? There's Crust Brewing is about to open, or their tap room. We talked about a few weeks ago.
Satellite location.
On Irving Park here.
Yeah.
There is, you were talking about Guinness because it is Irish month.
Yeah, the word is that Guinness is, Diageo, who owns Guinness, is looking to sell Guinness, all of it, for $8 billion. So that would be, I assume, all the naming rights and then all their breweries worldwide because, you know, they have these breweries in other countries, you know, like Africa and Asia and South America, mm-hmm. where, you know, like, I think Africa drinks more Guinness than Ireland does. Like, they got massive breweries that are not in Ireland. So that's the rumor that they're selling it for, the asking price is $8 billion.
Or they're looking for a buyer.
Yeah.
Because who's got $8 billion?
Who's got $8 billion that is in the market for a brewery? Even though it's one of the most recognized beer brands, probably the most recognized beer brand worldwide, is probably right. Guinness. One of the most, probably the most recognized thing to ever come out of Ireland, you would, right,
product,
the most recognized product to come out of Ireland, it probably has to be Guinness. You would think it's Guinness. I don't know, but
yeah, probably.
I mean, right? You know, it's Guinness. You know,
yeah, everyone so. Like, no one doesn't like Guinness. Anyone who doesn't like it thinks it's like a big stout. Yeah. They just really haven't had it.
Yeah.
$8 billion, I don't know. Could like someone like Monster Energy Drink buy it?
What about Elon? So he can fuck it up and change the name?
Yeah, he would mess it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Would like Red Bull? Like, I'm just thinking like a beverage would like. I feel like a beverage company would want it, but then maybe not. Maybe someone like a Dr. Pepper who owns Keurig and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, when you talk about that, yeah, like these big brands, they own a lot more stuff than you know.
Right.
So they might be looking at it like, same with Diageo. Diageo owns Guinness, but they also own, you know, Captain Morgan. And they probably own 50 other brands that we're aware of and just don't know that Diageo owns them. So it would probably just be one of those players, right?
It seems weird to spin out Guinness. Is it? I would think it makes money, or it's like a good. Out of all the stuff they own, what is Captain Morgan selling?
Like, why are they looking to get out of Guinness?
Right.
Probably the overhead, right? Guinness Diageo stock is $108 a share. Diageo selling Guinness.
Hmm.
It says. In January 2025, Diageo sold 80% of its stake in Guinness Ghana to a group. Oh, so, and then, so it sounds like they're not selling the Guinness brand, but has sold stakes in Guinness Ghana and Guinness Nigeria. Yeah.
Okay.
So they keep the naming rights, but the actual facility. So it's like, hey, you now own this brewery. But we own the naming rights to Guinness. You can make it. It's yours, but you have to pay us a percentage to use the name, kind of thing.
This is above my pay grade, right? Yeah. I feel like this is a different level.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
So it's, you know, that's not completely accurate that they're getting out of the entire brand. It says they're selling off stakes in specific Guinness breweries in other countries. That's what this says. So
I actually haven't had a Guinness probably since St. Patrick's Day. It just hasn't, I don't know, hasn't come up, or I haven't really wanted one. But it's always good.
It is always good.
Yeah. What else? Anything else? There was something else. No, Zombie Metro. We talked about that. They got beer. That's still kicking for some reason. Oh, we were talking. You were listening to a podcast with John Lafler.
Oh, yeah.
And this was, oh, because this related to, I think, Hybrid Article with Spiteful was like, tariffs for prices of cans are going to be more expensive because of aluminum. But then you were like this Lafler thing about selling, what, $30 IPAs or?
Yeah, I think they, I think it's called Crafty Brewer. And yeah, they do good interviews. And then they ask everyone the same three questions to close out every interview. And I think one of them is, what's an opinion about craft beer that you stand firmly by no matter what other people think? You know, and I think Lafler said something to the effect of, you know, $32, four packs of double IPA might have led to the demise of craft beer in America, you know.
Okay.
And they asked him to explain, and he I think, and you know, just not verbatim, but he's kind of like, you know, people who were in a position to do that and sold all those four packs, you know, were they good caretakers and were they interested in teaching people about the joys of beer outside of that when that audience stopped coming and lining up for these beers?
Right.
And maybe if people who are now 5 years removed from the $32 four-pack IPA craze, maybe they're just not as interested in beer. And whose fault is that? You know, it's everyone's fault, but, you know, it could have been. He thinks some of the blame has to go with the people making those beers.
That's it. I think, oh. I do think there's, like, two problems here, right? That $32 four-pack, or you even talking about going to Monk's and paying $9 for this beer.
Yeah.
So now you have this $32 four-pack, what's that, it's like $16 or $8 each beer in there. And then you're $9 for a beer at a bar. A cocktail's $10 to $12, maybe $15 downtown.
Yeah.
Why am I drinking beer that's, I don't know, more filling, more calories, doesn't get me fucked up, when I could spend $2 more and have the cocktail that's maybe more interesting because it's made there. It's like, it's fresh. I think that price point has gotten too close where beer was $5 and cocktails were $10. You're like, oh, I'll get some beer, or $3 for the, if you're getting pitchers of beer.
No, for sure. Those, and you know, back when Avery was here and they were doing, you get a bottle of Mistopheles, or, you know, all their beers were named after like demonic figures. You get this bottle, or, you know, they had an 18% pumpkin beer, but it was like barrel aged and it was crazy, but it was like $19 for the beer, you know, just okay. One bottle. And, you know, that was they were an outlier for that. But yeah, the price point between now that we're all exposed to these other spirits in a way, we have a relationship with other spirits and other beverages in general, alcoholic beverages in general. Our relationship is way stronger with those things now. And so, yeah, you're arguing, like, what's the point here? If, like, you know, so Phase 3 came out with a Kentucky Hugs Barrel Age 4-pack. It was $60. This was, like, last month.
Okay.
$60 for a 4-pack of, Barrel Age Stout.
So, yeah, $15 a can, right? Yeah. Are they 16-ounce cans or were they 12-ounce cans?
You know, let's say they were 16.
Okay.
You
know, they were probably 12.
Yeah, they might have been 12. But, yeah, you know.
One, you're probably not drinking a 16-ounce can of that kind of beer yourself.
No.
When you're at, it is weird, right? When you can 13% beer by yourself is like, that's a lot. 13-20% cocktail by yourself, that doesn't feel like a lot.
Yeah, cocktails just in general seem a lot more interesting. And then people, you know, age 23 to 33, their beer is something that, you know, their folks drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're more likely to go drink a fancy cocktail or drink a cannabis.
Or
drink.
At $15 a 16-ounce can, why am I not just getting a bottle of wine?
Wine. We forgot about wine. Yeah.
I could get a $9 white that's probably pretty good from Oregon or even California. And I have, what's that, 32 ounces?
There's been plenty of nights we opted, especially in the summer. There's plenty of nights we opt for a bottle of wine versus grabbing a four-pack.
So beer is in this weird spot where it feels, I don't want to say, it feels old, right? It feels like...
It feels dated.
It's not... We hit this last year where it was like all about lagers and stuff, which is old man beer. So they were like trying to like appeal to their audience, which everyone's making great lagers. So I'm on board for this, but I picked up a four pack of this Irish Hello and it's Oktoberfest. Now I have three other cans I don't want to drink.
Man, you just take it down to your local NA brewery and
be like, convert this for me. Can you convert this? I need a recycling facility to like take my old beer and like make it fresh again.
Man. It's interesting. I never heard of that. I never heard that as an argument. So I'm like,
That's
interesting perspective.
Off color. We don't go there enough, and we often don't drink their stuff on here. But I think they are. We say like Hopewell and Sketchbook are underrated breweries, but Off Color is doing the most interesting beers, I think, out of
everyone. They've had the drop on us this whole time. Yeah, them making those beers was the most interesting play from the beginning, and we just overlooked it.
They knew what they were doing, and they're like, we're just going to educate the people, although we may have to call our, Goza with salt and lime. We may have to call it something else.
Like a blended wheat beer or some shit.
But we're gonna show you that these can be interesting.
Yeah, in a way that kind of brings in people who don't drink beer.
Right, we're not going to package an Oktoberfest as an Irish Red, and then you never want to have Irish Red again because that was the one you had, and you're like, well, I don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing all right. You almost have to say that they're underrated at this point. Yeah, because they're far and away the most interesting player in 2025 is Off Color, the crew that doesn't really have... Well, they went away from... Apex Predator was like eating up most of their sales.
Yeah.
And they're like, we have to get away from this. What can we do? Let's lean heavier into these East Forward beers. Let's lean heavier into beers that don't have profiles that people are familiar with. Mm-hmm. Let's lean heavier into that. And a byproduct of that is they remain interesting, and then they pull in people who are A, sick of, the beer flavored beer, and then B, don't like beer at all. They play for everybody.
And then the Beer 4 series plays into like the... I don't know, I'm sitting on my couch. I want the beer for lounging.
Yeah.
It's
interesting because they're a crew that it's a crew that goes out of its way to be different and be unique, but then they play into what beer people like. They make an Italian pils, they make a lager.
Their dark lager is
pretty good, they really have a wide range of stuff for you to get excited about.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't go there, and we don't drink it enough.
This is very true. It's like an annual trip for me. Maybe I should do it more. I drink Off Color maybe once or twice a year, and maybe I should change that.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I often see it at we're at like Sox, and it's like beer for baseball. It's like I don't really like that beer.
The cream.
I only get that for the picture.
Right.
But whenever I'm at the brewery, I'm like, holy shit, man! There's a lot of stuff here I want to try. I can't drink it all. What am I doing?
Yeah.
So damn. So that's an interesting take by Laugh. I think he's right. Not only we talked about price, but the education side, which he was kind of saying that no one explained to people or showed people that beer can be interesting.
Why do you care? Why should you care about this outside of the sick hazy four pack that you got?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it tastes like straight juice, right? Why should you care about beer?
Right. I think we lost that a little bit. Like the hop craze was sort of happening. We were like seeing what all the different hops did and blah, 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 blah. And it was like, oh, that was exciting. And now no one really talks about their hops in their beer, right? like a little bit, but it's not like we're trying this experimental hop. We're doing this. We mix this one. It's like sticking to style, just trying to make sure we sell the beer.
Yeah.
I don't know. It feels like a sad, somber note to end it on. I enjoy. Are you often drinking more cocktails than you are beer?
At home, for sure. Okay. When I go out, I'm drinking beer.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, we tend to drink a little more wine, a little more, make a lot more cocktails at home.
At home.
Yeah. But then now, like with the, you know, with the price of beer going out, it's like my last couple times I've been trying to find all the zombie ice in town. Oh, and yeah. Just drink it all up. So every time I go out, I look for zombie ice. So that's been my kick lately. But outside of that, cocktails.
Okay.
Cocktails and zombie ice. Yeah.
That makes sense. I often go to beer when I'm out just because, like, I know what 6% is doing, and the cocktails you never necessarily know. And yeah. I'm driving or have to get back home. And so it's like, oh, I know I can have two of these, but I don't know if I can have two cocktails. And like,
yeah, that's true. There is some event coming up that I want to talk about.
Oh, there's 312 day.
Oh, yeah, 312 days coming up.
They're doing like a hot dog thing.
They are. I feel like they took 312 day off last year.
I got an email about a hot dog, a fancy hot dog event they're doing, that they're selling like a beer dinner hot dog. Damn. At Salt Shed.
At the old Salt Shed. Everything's going to be at Salt Shed.
Right. Which
Salt Shed's cool.
Tickets go on sale in a couple weeks. They were like, I don't know if we were getting invited to it, if we talked about it, but they're... I don't know. It's a Vienna Beef and Goose Island.
Goose Island, Vienna Beef, 312, Hot Dog Day. Man, they need to just quit playing and bring back the bikes and the giant lemon. Just bring it back.
Bring back Slenderman?
Hmm?
Or
what's the giant lemon.
Yeah, but who was their, like, lemon guy? What was their lemon guy
called? Oh, yeah. He was kind of like the Shandy Man.
The Shandy
Man. The Shandy. Like the Shandy Man. Yeah.
What happened to 312 Flavors?
I'm saying, I feel like they took the year off, right? They didn't do anything last year.
No. Nah. Well, that's because St. Patrick's Day fell on...
Like, on 312. Yeah, what are you going to do? You can't compete.
I think they did something at the brewery, and it's like, you are lost.
It's St. Patrick's Day. Yeah.
At least now they're the... I think they're the weekend... But they're during the week before... They're like...
Before the river and all that stuff.
Before the weekend,
yeah.
Kind of thing.
Okay, so that makes sense. All right.
I think the river will die, but they'll fall during St. Patrick's Day week stuff. But yeah. But yeah, that sounds interesting. All right. Anything else before we wrap up here? Finish our October Fet Irish Reds?
No, man. I think that's it.
All right. That's going to do it. Take care.
Cheers.